have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Some people said that I I wouldn't be here today, but look at me, look at me. I made it, yeah, by the grace of God. When I sit down and look back down through the years, I have to shed so many tears.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moments. Good evening, First Lady.
Good evening, Jerry. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. Have you ever found yourself getting in debt simply because you didn't want to disappoint your children? These days, it seems like there are high fees for everything that your child wants to do. Participation in school activities such as clubs and sports come with a price, and even when they go home, gone are the days when children simply went outside to play and created new games. Today, outside play has been replaced with the latest technological gadget that many of us cannot afford. If that weren't enough, despite the high taxes that we pay, many of us don't have confidence in the public school system and instead choose to send our children to private school. Private schools are so expensive that for some they rival the cost of attending college. In fact, I recently heard of a local private school that costs $30,000 a year to attend. Of course, we all want the best for our children, and that usually translates into trying to help them have opportunities that we didn't have but may have wanted as a child. That said, by no means do I want to suggest that doing some of those things is wrong, but if it forces you to spend beyond your means, then I encourage you to remember that the greatest gift that we can give to our children is love. Most of us did not grow up with a lot of things, nor were we able to attend private schools. In fact, despite the fact that many of us lived in what was considered low-income households, we never really missed anything. When I think back on my childhood, I was raised by a single parent, as my parents divorced when I was a baby. My mother worked very hard, often overnight, to provide for my sister and I. I can honestly say, looking back, that we lived very modestly, but during that time, I never felt like I was missing anything. I think that was because we always had a strong sense of love and family in our home. Although my parents weren't together, we had extended family that was always looking out for us when my mother couldn't. And we had certain family constants that made me always feel loved and secure. We had dinner as a family most evenings and Sundays. We all went to church together, and yes, teaching us the importance of education and self-discipline was not just words, but there was reinforcement with rules and about studying and respect for one another. So if you cannot afford to pay for that must-have extracurricular activity or for that Christmas gift that your child is saying they absolutely must have, don't feel as though you're letting your child down by not robbing Peter to pay Paul in order to fund it. In the long run, it's the love and guidance that you give your children that is sustaining. though your child may feel like it is the end of the world if they cannot participate in that activity or if they don't have that latest gadget that all their friends seem to have. We all know it is never as bad as it seems to them at the time. Take the opportunity to share some insight with them on when you didn't get the opportunity to do something that you wanted to do in life. It may be one of the best lessons that you can teach them. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your gospel news, followed by Open Mic with the Bishop with your host, Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr.
I'm Nina Taylor with this week's gospel news. Lucinda Moore is a gospel singer, songwriter, and arranger with a big voice suited for leading large choirs. A native of Bridgeport, Connecticut, by her early teens, she was singing lead in local choirs. Her professional career began a few years later, receiving a position as backing vocalist for one of her influences, Tremaine Hawkins, a post she held for 5 years. After several more years of performing with multiple gospel vocal groups, large and small, including appearances with the Gospel Music Workshop of America, she self-released her first solo recording, an EP entitled Unlimited Praise, in 2004. That led to a spot on the Ty Scott Records roster. They issued her debut song, Lucinda Moore, in 2006. It landed in the top 20 of Billboard's gospel charts. In the meantime, she helped out on other artist recordings, including working on arrangements for 2006's Grateful by Coco, singing on 2007's Restoration by Eric McDaniel, an instrumental of Praise by Carmen, and appearing on various group worship and choir releases. Her follow-up solo project, 2010's Blessed, Broken, and Given, returned her to the gospel charts, where she reached number 13. Lucinda Moore won a Stellar Award in 2011 for Traditional Female Artist of the Year. The singer continued to perform live as she worked on more music and an autobiography entitled Turn Your Pressure into Praise. Dr. Maddie Moss Clark was a gospel choir director for most of her life and is often credited as one of the first to teach three-part harmony to a choir. Born in 1925 in Selma, Alabama, Clark relocated to Detroit, Michigan in 1958 and shortly thereafter organized the Southwest Michigan State Choir of the Church of God in Christ. In addition to being a songwriter, vocalist, pianist, arranger, and choir director, Clark was also president of the National Music Department of the Church of God in Christ for 25 years and founded the Clark Conservatory School of Music in Detroit. Over the years, Clark recorded with such artists as Elder James Moore, Vanessa Bell Armstrong, Elder James Lennox, Reverend Richard Mr. Clean White, and Betty Nelson. Dr. Clark also helped such artists as Walter Hawkins and Hezekiah Walker, Richard Smallwood, to get their careers started. Clark recorded more than 35 albums during her career and was one of the first gospel artists to receive a gold-certified album before passing away at the age of 69 on September 22, 1994, in Southfield, Michigan. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Each year, it aims to promote screening and prevention of the disease, which affects 1 in 8 women in the United States every year and 2.3 million women worldwide. Known best for its pink-themed color, the month features a number of campaigns and programs conducted by groups ranging from breast cancer advocacy organizations to local community organizations to major retailers. They are all aimed at supporting people diagnosed with breast cancer, including metastatic breast cancer, and educating people about breast cancer risk factors and stressing the importance of regular screening. You should start your screenings at the age of 40 or at an earlier age if your risk is high, like, for example, breast cancer in your family. If you need more information about Breast Cancer Awareness Month and breast cancer screening, check with your local doctor, or you can log on to breastcancer.org. That's breastcancer.org. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, Angel Taylor with Speak. Number 9, Anthony Brown and Group Therapy with Speak Your Name. 8, Feel All Right, Blessed Erica Campbell. 7, Thank You, James Greer and Company, featuring Maurette Brown Clark. 6, I Believe God, Ja'Kalen Carr. 5, It's Working, Todd Delaney and Hezekiah Walker. 4, Always Peace, Brian Courtney Wilson. 3, All Things, Kirk Franklin. Number 2, Heaven, Anthony David and Algebra Blessette. And number 1, Lord Do It For Me, Zacardi Cortez. Well, that's your top 10 gospel songs, your information about Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
And good evening to you, Nina Taylor. I so bless God for you. Thank you for your wonderful introductions each and every week. I want to say welcome to you, and also to you, whether you're listening by way of radio, wherever you may be. We thank God for each and every one of you. And just before we get started, by way of announcement, I'm just learning today that Open Mic with the Bishop, actually they said Pastor's Corner, was nominated, made the final ballot for the Spin Awards, which actually takes place next Thursday down in Atlanta, Georgia. Whether we win or not, they're irrelevant. The fact that they even recognized the show. Whoever nominated us, God bless you, and thank you so very much. So take a bow, Sister Kimmy Kim, being the producer that put your name on the ballot as well. Nonetheless, we're going to move forward, and we're going to get today's show started. And I'm looking for my two co-hosts, and I believe that they are here. Let me first find my sister from another mother. We share the same exact birthday, although I'm older than she is, but she's cuter than I am. All the way from Indianapolis, Indiana, my dear sister, Pastor Anna Henderson. Blessings to you, my sister. How are you today?
Blessings to you, Bishop. I am so glad to be on tonight. I am looking for the discussion tonight, and we thank God for all of our listeners being on tonight with us.
Amen, amen, amen. Also, my other sister from another mother, she's still cuter than I am. But see, she thinks she's smarter than me, but she might be right, but I'm never going to tell her. Nonetheless, from New Haven, Connecticut, come on and say good evening to Elder Lauren Brown.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, Bishop and Sissy.
Good evening, good evening.
I appreciate you guys. I just love you. And, of course, our producer, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, she has very little to say because she's behind the steel. Is she going to talk today? Oh, Lord. You going to talk today? She ain't going to say that. See, I told you she'd take it too long. Anyway, we appreciate it. There she is right there. How are you? See how she do to me, y'all? She just goes silent on me, going like, you ain't in no cave. This is the 21st century. Anyway, let's move on. I'm not going to mess with you today. We started something, and I want to commend you ladies for a tremendous job that you did a couple of weeks ago on Ladies Night. I enjoyed the entire thing, and thank you for not calling my name or saying my name. You know, it's all, to me, it's important that you be able to handle radio shows. And I know Elder Brown, you've been doing radio for a number of years, so I was never concerned about you personally. But, you know, the thing is, I enjoyed the entire podcast, and I pray that on the next Thursday night, you'll do the same with just as much skill.
Amen.
I won't be with you that time because, as you know, I'll be in the middle of some kind of showcase or whatever the case it is that I'm going to be in. So by the time
Amen.
The show gets started, by the time the show ends, it'll be close. I don't know what time they're getting out of these showcases. I stopped going to these things a long time ago because they're just so long. You know, I ain't as young as I used to be. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
I can't be.
Yeah.
I, I can't sit up for 25 hours. You know what I mean? Not anymore. Now, I've turned into a milk and cookies kind of guy, so I get in here with my business. I'm out the dough. Y'all know how that goes. Anyway, we do have a scripture, and I'm going to share it with you. We started something earlier, a few weeks back, how to get in shape. And we took the acronym S-H-A-P-E. And we had started working on the letter S, and one of the key words that we used was, in fact, the word surrender. And we do understand that in order for God to begin to get us in shape, he needs a yes from us. And getting that yes means the letter S, surrender. We have got to give in to the plan of the Lord. We've got to look to the hill from which cometh our help. We have to expect God to do what he says he's going to do. And then on the next week, we started in on the letter H, and the main word that we were using was the letter hope, but there are just so many other words we could use. So what I want to do, ladies, is we're going to go right back to the scripture. I believe you used it, Elder Brown, and I want to pull that particular scripture out, and I'm going to ask you, Pastor Henderson, if you would pray, and then I'm going to ask you, Elder Brown, just give the synopsis that comes to your heart, to your spirit, as we use this, a very familiar passage of scripture. If you're going to talk about hope, you need to understand what God has in store for you. It comes out of Jeremiah chapter 29. It's verse 11. Simply says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." This is the NIV version. Plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Pastor Henderson, pray us in so we can get down and start digging into this.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for another opportunity, Lord, to hallelujah, to have, amen, hallelujah, this time. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we ask, oh, God, that you will be in the conversation tonight, the discussion tonight. Lord, that you will bless each listener that is tuned in tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this platform, Father God. Thank you for this opportunity. We know that something is going to be said tonight that's going to penetrate the hearts of our listeners. Oh, God, to take a look, oh, God, a little bit deeper, amen, into, oh, God, their journey with you. And, Lord, to elevate them to a higher place, oh, God, in you. Father, we ask that you have your way tonight. Bless each one, oh, God, and their families and their households. And, Father, we give your name the praise, the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.
And amen.
Amen, amen. For the synopsis or for the summary, in accordance with Jeremiah 29:11, I take this personally because it's a scripture that I've decided to plant in my heart, but also plant in my visual scape, so to speak, or visual landscape. It's important for us to understand that God is not angry with us. God is not going to hurt us. God is not going to do anything but love us, restore us, heal us, develop us, encourage us, give us hope, which means that when we have hope through the Lord, understanding the plans he has for us and hope eternal, that means that it's going to be all right. It's going to come out all right. We're going to come out of this unscathed. We're going to come out of it without scars. We're going to come out of it through the love and the restoration and the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it's important to understand he has the plan. He's going to execute, put into place that plan as long as we what? Surrender. As long as we what? Surrender to him and show him and understand that as we surrender and lay ourselves totally exposed and out before him, he knows what the plan is. He knows what to do. He knows how to work it for each and every one of us. And his ended plan is victory, wellness, wholeness. In accordance with Jeremiah 29:11.
Amen, amen. Well, and I appreciate what you just laid out there. For those of you that are just joining us, we do want to take a minute here. I don't remember if we actually established what we found out in a definition for what hope is. But Merriam-Webster says that hope is a desire accompanied by expectation or of, by expectation of, or belief in fulfillment. And, you know, there are other ways, variations. Somebody else said in Wikipedia that hope is an optimistic state of mind that is based on an expectation of positive outcomes with respect to events and circumstances in one's life or the world at large. As a verb, its definition includes expect with confidence or confident expectation. It means to cherish, to desire with anticipation. Now, with every positive, there is a negative, and among its opposites, you find people who in this day and age are dealing with dejection, people who are dealing with hopelessness, people who are dealing with despair, people who are dealing with depression. Can we say that these individuals lost all hope, or have they lost enough hope to cause them to feel like this? Ladies, what's your opinion on these things? What comes to mind when you hear these things? I don't know what to do with a person that's dejected or hopeless or in despair, a person that feels like, you know, all there's no way out, they can't get any better. I do know what to do with them, but I want to get your opinion. What do you do with people that feel hopeless? What do you do with them?
I think also to point them to Jesus. I think to point them to something and someone that's higher than their circumstances, that's Jesus. To let them know that he is their anchor, that he is their way out, he's their way in, he's their way through. To let them know that as long as they keep their eyes on Jesus, that they can make it through whatever they're going through, no matter how hopeless or how difficult it may be, he will give them the assurance that they can make it to a better day. But our hope has to be built on Christ, because everything else, like the song says, my hope is built on nothing else. Yeah, but Jesus, you know. And if we build our hope on anything less than the potential of falling and going down and staying down is there. So I would always point them back to the one that can get you up, stand you up, stabilize you, and push you forth, and that's Jesus, the Christ.
Well, what about you, Elder Brown?
To piggyback off of what Pastor Henson said, we would have to take it as a moment inside of ourselves and making it a teachable moment, realizing that not everyone has the same spiritual education or exposure to the Lord and his miracles and his, you know, promises in the Word. So it may be a situation where we have to take them literally to the Bible and say, look, this was the situation. This is what God did. This is hope. This is faith. We can obtain the same results and even more so, because our God is so awesome and so in love with us that this is what he wants us to have. He wants us to have hope, to have an expected end of wellness. And take some time to, you know, just don't even talk about your situation. Don't even talk about the negative if you can. If you can bring that person to a level of spiritual education and then give them that seed of faith, that'll help them build their hope.
Amen. Amen. So when we look at that particular scripture that we just read, you know, I see three things in there. I see my Father God, who has, like you said earlier, Elder Brown, a plan for me. Yes. I see my Father in that scripture. He has a blessing that's also inclusive in that plan for me. Yes. I see my God making a promise to me that I know he's going to keep. God's not the man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should have to repent. Yes. If God said it, then believe it. That settles it. There is no more reason for me to kind of feel down, depressed, dejected, to feel hopeless. Because first of all, I know the plans I have for you. Man, listen, I know where you're going. I know what I want you to do. I kind of waited in sports to like football. When you put the offense out there, the offensive coordinator has a set of plays that he's going to give to the quarterback to share with the rest of the team. And think about this. God gave Jesus the plan for us. And Jesus is the quarterback. He comes in and he tells us what the plan is. And the Holy Spirit helps us to move forward in that plan. He plans to prosper us. He does not plan to harm us. When is it that God is ever trying to harm any of us? It's not that God is trying to harm us. We harm ourselves. When we step outside of the will of God, when we step away from the ark of safety, we put our own self in harm's way. And I'm not even sure why we do that. Jesus already went into harm's way. In order to get to save us, to deliver us, to set us free, Jesus had to step in harm's way. We've got a hope and a future. Now, somebody said it earlier. I believe it was you, Pastor Henderson. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And you said during a prayer call, Elder Brown, you know, that when my soul is overwhelmed, I want you to lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Who better than to go to when we are in need of encouragement, when we are in need of receiving hope, when we are in need. See, listen, God wants you to know that everything we're ever going to need, he already has. No wonder David wrote the 23rd Psalm when he said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I'm not going to lack anything. I don't have to hope about that. That's my expectation. He, in his plans, he plans to shepherd me. He plans to make sure that I have everything I'm going to need. And in those times when I'm restless, when I'm irritated, when I'm in mental anguish, when it feels like my mind is in a chaotic state, he makes me to lie down in those green pastures, and he leads me beside the quiet waters. If you know anything about sheep, sheep cannot drink from rushing waters because it's too busy, and it kind of causes a fear to come upon. Therefore, the shepherd takes them to a still pond, and in that still pond, they begin to drink. What am I talking about? If you have hope in the Lord your God, the blessing of the Lord, which will make you rich and will not add any sorrow to you, overshadows you, overtakes you, it becomes part of you. You find yourself beginning to rest in him, not in your own abilities, not in your own power, or in your own might. You have a dependence, a reliance upon the God of your salvation. Planning, blessing, confident expectation, or should I use the word hope? That's what I get out of Jeremiah 29 and 11. Ladies, what do you have to add to that? And I know you got something. I know you got something.
You know what goes back to what Pastor Henderson said, Bishop, as she quoted the scripture? My hope is built. B-U-I-L-T. Built. Building. Block. We have to be able to understand that even though you may not be, you know, a person who can quote from Genesis to Revelation, you know what life experiences are. You know now exactly what the Lord has in store for us. So it's our responsibility as a believer to take the time to build our hope. How do you build your hope? You look at all the scenarios, all the promises, all the parables in the Bible. If you don't know how to get to them, then you grab an elder and say, you know what? I'm not really sure how to get there or how to find these nuggets, but I want to build my hope. It's my responsibility to make sure I have enough hope. I have enough faith. There are experiences. There are plenty of examples in the Word. And even if you can't get it from the Word, and dare I say, you know, some people don't agree with it, but there are different movies and different media selections that you can use to build your hope. And also, first of all, let me backstep. Ask God, through prayer, what should I do to build my hope? I believe. Believing is the victory. Believing is the war in itself. You have to first believe that God is going to do it, that God is going to be there for us, and that God is going to bring us to that expected end. He loved us. And I think that's part of where we have to, as fellow Christians, not only encourage each other, but silently pray for each other and let each other know that, you know what, I'm praying for you in a positive way. And leave it at that. Don't have a conversation. Don't have a dialogue. But let that person know, I'm praying for you. That gives a person hope right there to realize that someone else cares about them, to realize that someone else is really taking the time and mean it to sit down and pray. It makes a difference. You wouldn't believe what it can do to someone. It can absolutely change and save someone's life if you tell them that you're praying for them. And you earnestly, if you say you're going to pray for somebody, as our spiritual mother taught us, you make that vow, you pray. Even if you just pray, Jesus, bless them. Jesus, keep them. Jesus, speak to them in the midnight hour. Pray that prayer.
Yeah.
Move on.
My goodness. All right. Come on, Henderson. What you got to add to that?
Thank you, Lord.
That's totally, I totally agree. Everything. Amen, that was said. And I was just thinking in Ephesians, the second chapter, when it talked about how we were formerly, you know, alienated from God, and now we have been joined to him through his blood after receiving him. And now we have a hope. We have a hope in him now, because now, you know, we have something to look back and see where we came from, because now we have access. Now we have, you know, we have a relationship with a God who we were once separated from. And just for the thinking about that relationship, let us know that our God loves us. He adopted us. He engrafted us in. And because of that, we have a hope. And I thought about the said that we have hope in this world only. We're men most miserable. You know, our hope is beyond this world. Our hope is beyond having money and having this and having material things. Our hope is anchored in a God that supersedes all of that. Amen, because we know our hope is in our Heavenly Father, who has access, and he has given us access, and he has given us an inheritance. And therefore, we can build our faith and our confidence in the fact that we belong to him. And so we have a hope, not just for now, but we have a hope for the future. And that's an awesome thing, that he's coming back again for those that have made themselves ready, those that have received him and accepted him as Lord and Savior. The hope is that he's coming back again, and we're going to live with him forevermore. And so we can have a hope in the present, and we can have a hope for the future. And that's a blessed hope that we look forward to.
Amen.
You know what? And thank you so much for that. That's beautifully said by both of you. Something comes to mind. And who better than King David to turn to hear some of what it took for him? You know, I mean, there are just so many different scriptures that we could talk about. I mean, we could turn around and, you know, he talked about, I believe, and it wasn't David, that was Isaiah, but David in Psalm 42 and 11 said, why, my soul, are you cast down? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. And I will yet praise him and my Savior. But you know what I want to do? Go back, because sometimes we go in the middle of the psalm. We as people who are disciples and those of us who are in leadership, sometimes we have those dry seasons. Sometimes we have those thirsty seasons. Sometimes we have a wilderness that we have to deal with, a period of wilderness. And some of it, we're going to have it, and nothing seems to be exciting, nothing seems to be motivating. And when you look at Psalm 42, I'm going to read the first four verses in just a minute. You know, you'll find something that David says, and in essence, David says, I used to lead the people in a parade to God, and now I can't even find him myself. Listen to what he says here. As the hart, and this is the Amplified Classic Edition. It says, as the deer in the King James Version. It says, as the hart pants and longs for the water brooks, so I pant and long for you, O God. My inner self thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I earnestly remember and pour myself out within me, how I went slowly before the throng and led them in procession to the house of God, like a bandmaster before his band, timing the steps to the sound of music and the chant of song, with the voice of shouting and with praise, a throng keeping festival. Now verse 5, why are you cast down, O my inner self? Why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly, for I shall yet praise him, my help And my God, we have to understand that even as David said, we have to recapture our perspective sometimes. And when we look at verse 5, David begins to tell of the truth that's going on inside of him. He concludes that God will prevail. And all we're trying to do today is encourage somebody to hope in the Lord your God. What I love about what he writes here is his humanity. Yes, he's the king of Israel, but he's showing that even he has a moment of humanness that needs to be addressed. You know, I get so bothered with these super saved saints that they don't have any kind whatsoever. They never have a moment in life where they're going through something and they just feel helpless. They just feel hopeless. They just feel like God is not there. I'm not that saved. I just got saved just 45, 46 years ago, and still I ain't that saved that I can't understand. I've had days like this. I realize that I can't lead people as a leader any further than I myself am able to stand. Man. I refuse to be fake. I refuse to be a cornball. I refuse to put on a mask. The only mask I had to wear was during COVID, and now it's my choice if I want to wear one. But what trying to say is I don't want to pretend that all is well. I come to you, Elder Brown, how you doing? All is well. Elder Brown's going to hell and back, and she's sitting there talking about all is well. Well, you know, Bishop, I'm having a couple of things, but God is able. There's a difference when you turn around. You could be real with yourself because you were real with God. So before I attempt to lead anyone, I've got to cry out to God for self-renewal. I've got to cry out to God who understands and knows what it is. I've got to be honest with myself about the state that I might be in. I've got to cry out to God to lift me up out of the muck and the miry clay. I've got to refuse to fake it. I've got to want to model for others. People need to see that I do have some human frailty, but God, they've got to see that. I've got to continue to tell truth, no matter how it is. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't know what fake is. Y'all going to have to forgive me because me and fake really don't get acquainted with each other. We don't hang out much with each other these days. But I brought all that up to show how we have to have a realness about us. And if we're going to walk in hope, if we're going to walk in the hope of the Lord, then we've got to put ourselves in a position to learn how to hope and know that God has the ability to renew our strength. God will allow us, as Isaiah said in Isaiah 40, and I think it was verse 31, we can soar like the wings of the eagle. We can run and not get weary. We can walk and not faint. Why? Because of God of our salvation in whom we trust and have confident expectation or hope in is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. I hope I'm saying something that blesses somebody today, because I hate to find out that I'm talking to myself. I mean, come on here, y'all. Talk to me. What do you think about that?
I believe, Bishop, you are saying something that will bless someone else, but also I believe that, unfortunately, because of And I say this not coming from a church background. I wasn't born in the church. I got saved and came to the church once I graduated from college. I think it's very profound but also refreshing that you have the ability to even let us in of your life and your ministry where you're saying, I've had days like this. As you said, there are some people who feel like I'm a super saint. I'm a super sanctified saint. I don't have to tell anybody anything. The world is cruel. The world judges you, our leaders, and you, the fivefold ministry, by a different standard. They will judge you in the service, talk about you after the service, not even consult with you to ask you, can I pray for you? And not even be real with you because they believe that you have this great pipeline to God and that because you have that great pipeline to God, nothing's going to come and affect you. I'm sorry, but you know what? This flesh lies. This flesh hurts. This flesh has to be disciplined. And Pastor Henderson and I were talking about that earlier. If we don't have the right disciplinary tools to understand that, yes, it is written in the Holy Word. We are going to have tests and trials and tribulations. Is it wrong for leadership to let us know that they're going through? No. It is our job as fellow Christians to hold them up. If they can't hold their arms up, get behind your leader. Physically hold their arms up. Pray for them. Don't talk about them. Don't talk about the situation. Pray the answer. Give them hope. Give them that mustard seed of faith. Because as they're sowing unto us, God is sowing unto them and making them stronger so that each and every tribulation that we go through, they're there for us. And that's profound. I thank you for being so candid, because there are some people, even older saints that I've encountered, mean people, but nothing bothers them. Okay, if nothing bothers you, why can't you get rid of that mean attitude? And if you're truly a saint and you really love the Lord, why aren't you allowing the Lord? Why aren't you surrendering your anger and your mean face to the Lord? That's not what the Lord is about. He's about love, healing, restoration, fellowship. And we need to be able to remember those examples. Thank you for being candid. I appreciate it.
All right, Henderson, bring us on in.
Yes, I think it's so good, and there's so much needed in the body of Christ is transparency, because a lot of times people do get the wrong image of believers in Christ because they don't see or understand from the same viewpoint. And I think it's so important to allow others to see that, yes, you know, on this side of Zion, that you do have disappointment, you do hurt, you do get, you know, injured along the way. And it's okay, because as the psalmist was saying, as you read in that 42nd psalm, he was talking to his soul to put his eyes back on the Lord and to look at what God has done so that you can rejoice. And then it's good to know that in those moments that we can look back and see what he has already done, and we can rejoice in what he's already done, and we take our eyes off of the problem and begin to put our eyes back on him, and God gets glory. And while our eyes are focused on him, our soul is becoming restored. Our hope is becoming more pronounced, and we're beginning to really see our circumstances in light of how God sees it and that he's in control. And so I just want to encourage someone tonight that if you're in a situation and it looks hopeless and you feel in despair and it doesn't look like there's a way out, if you just put your eyes on Jesus, if you just turn to him in prayer, if you just begin to think of the things he's already done for you, then you begin to see that God is bigger than any problem. He's bigger than any hopeless situation, and he's able to pull you out, and he can do a now situation. He doesn't have to be all time, all day doing it. I mean, just one turn toward him. And I'm reminded of when Peter was walking on the water and he began to sink. Amen. He called out, and at that moment, Jesus stretched forth his hand. I want to tell somebody tonight, Jesus is waiting for you to give your hopeless situation to him so that he can pick you up, turn you around, and give you a testimony and transform your life. Hallelujah. Look up. Hallelujah. Look up and live. Hallelujah. Our God is bigger. He's bigger than any hopeless situation. Be encouraged tonight. Be encouraged.
Amen.
I feel like y'all going to make me start in a minute. Keep on fooling around. All right?
I told you the fire started.
This is good.
But you know that thing is important, too, Bishop. Sometimes people need to understand
that
even though you may not see something, it may be invisible. We internalize stuff, but God is so awesome that even though we have invisible things that are going on, for example, the things that I suffer, people, you don't look like what that is. Well, you know what? That's because my God, he ministers to those invisible situations. He ministers to those silent situations. And I thank God, because no matter where I've been, no matter what the doctors have spoken over me, God has met me every time. Sometimes it takes me a little bit of, you know, remixing and rerunning it in my head and saying, you know what, 1 Peter 2:24, 1 Peter 2:24, what, 1 Peter 2:24. And I've also had to tell other people, don't speak over me. If you're going to speak over me, you only speak health and wellness. And we have the right to speak up and tell other people, we're not going to pray the situation. We're not going to continue calling for the enemy by complaining. No, we're praying healing and love and restoration through the Lord. We have a right, even though you may not understand what I'm going through, you may not see it. Just because I don't wear a Band-Aid on my forehead doesn't mean I don't have a headache. But you know what? Serve the God that can take away that headache instantly, as Henderson said, suddenly. We thank the Lord because it can be instantly genius. And we thank him because you know what? He's all about.
Yes, he is.
Restoration.
Yes,
thank you, Lord.
What you're saying, it's a good word tonight. It's a real good word tonight. Piggyback on what you're saying there, Elder Brown, you know, and of course the psalmist in Psalms 121, 7 and 8, he talks about life, but yeah, he even talks about when you have to face evil. He simply says the Lord will keep you from all harm. The Lord will watch over your life. And I'm so happy to know that God is watching over my life. Yeah. If I waited for to watch over my life, do you know I would have been done in a long time ago? If I waited for man to speak to my situation or my circumstance, you know they would have just deemed me doomed. Like, I can't get anything done. I'm through. I'm complete. You might as well throw in the towel, get the shovel, and bury this because he ain't getting up no more. But the Lord watches over my coming and my going, both now and forevermore. Jesus told me in Matthew 11:28 to come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden or heavy burdened. He says, I will give you rest. But he says to me, take my yoke upon you. You can't rest until you take my yoke, because if you keep keeping your own yoke, you're going to keep tripping over yourself. You're going to keep stumbling over yourself. You're going to keep falling down. You're going to keep hurting yourself. You're going to keep injuring yourself, and in the process you might be injuring other people who are literally trying to, but if you come to me, I'm willing to show you who you are. I'm showing you what you can become. Just come to me and I'll open you up and let you see the glory, my glory. You're a vessel that's meat for the master's use. If you'll just come to me, I'll take you above, higher than you've ever been before. If you'll just come to me. Coming to Jesus simply means that we're willing to lay it all at his feet. Give it up. Let it go. We surrender. That's all. And that don't mean we're giving up on life. It means that we realize we can't handle it, but he can. So we come to him. We come to him, you know, in our weakness. He encourages us to come when we're weak. Come to him when we're weary. Come to him when we're stressed out. Come to him when we're in anguish. Come to him when we're going through depression. Come to him.
Thank you.
I like what the writer of Hebrews 11 turned around and said on one occasion. He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped, the evidence in things unseen. Basically, if we have now faith, you had to have hope in order to reach now faith. If you have no hope, what faith are you using to get close to God? What are you using? If faith is the confidence of what we hope for, faith has to be the means. Faith becomes the base. Hope becomes that next stack. You know how they make the, what do they call that thing when they put in the ground, the foundation? Before you put anything on the foundation has to be sure. Foundation in Christ, it means our faith and belief in who he is. Now when you say the phrase, Pastor Henderson, my hope is built.
Amen. Come on.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. God, don't let me start no trouble in here today, Father. I'm trying not to start a revival, but God is stoking the fires tonight. Ladies, I'm going to tell you honestly, there is so much in this hope. And so there are people who are listening to us right now that are paying attention to this podcast. I need you to understand your level of faith, the Holy Spirit who's working in you, and the spirit that you need to connect to. And I need everybody listening to me, write this down. Romans 15:13. I am declaring this over everybody today. I speak and declare that the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I got to say it one more time because somebody's listening, but they got half of it. Let me say it again. I pray. pray that the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power, the dunamis,
yes,
the ability, the might.
Blow yourself up. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes.
The Holy Spirit. That's my decree and declare. I'm speaking that over somebody. Somebody listening needs that. Take that. Run with it. You know what I often say sometimes, ladies, and I know we're coming down to a close, so let's bring it in with our final remark. But I often say, I hope favor knocks you to the ground and tries to drown you. I hope favor just drowns. I don't want you to die. I just want you to drown in favor.
Amen.
Like a good piece of rib and barbecue sauce. Just keep. I hope the Holy Spirit land base you with favor. Just that. You know how you take that rib and you keep brushing and you keep brushing. So by the time it's done, it's fall off the bone good. That's how I want God to bless somebody listening to
Thank
us.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
All right.
Yeah.
Any questions before we bring this in? I don't even know if we're finished with this. But we're still talking about how to get in shape.
Amen. What I would like to do is I would like to challenge our listeners to think about it. And Pastor Henderson and I talked about this a couple conversations ago. Sit down and think about all the times where it seems like your life has been spared. And in doing that, and make a physical list. There are certain situations, like when you cross the street and that car just missed you. When you went to your mailbox and you opened the mailbox and you know, you were able to get the mail out, but that mail truck just missed you. Think about all those situations and bless the Lord. Praise him and let him know, God, I understand that you have spared my life so many times. Even in my personal life, I thank God that God has spared my life where other people, not because of my actions, but because of another person's actions, came to actually, and God lifted up against the enemy. I had faith. My faith was built even more. I had hope. My hope was built up even more. Why? Because at every interval, God is saving our lives. Whether it's your spiritual life, whether it's natural, your mind, God is always there, and he's always on his job planning for our healing, planning for saving us, planning for preserving us. And that is God's will. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all of us to have the chance to understand who he is, why we need to be saved, why we need to have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, realizing that God loves us. He's not an angry God. He's not after us. He's not out to harm us. He is so in love with us that he knows the very number of hairs upon our head. He knows when we stub our toe. He knows when we, you know, scream out in pain, realizing that as we surrender everything to us, it may not be pretty, but you don't have to share it with Jimmy John and Sally Sue. Share it with God. Get alone. Talk to him. And I guarantee you, I charge you. The deeper you get into him, the more you praise him, no matter what's going on, he'll always, always come to our rescue. He'll always make a way. He'll always build up our faith and give us hope, realizing that an expected end is welfare. Not like the welfare system. Welfare, wellness, favored, goodness, and wholeness. That's what God has for us in accordance with Jeremiah 29 and 11. My favorite. Don't get me started.
Yes, hallelujah. It's been a great discussion. Hallelujah. And I just want to say to someone tonight, if you're in that place where you feel like you're all by yourself and you feel like you don't have hope, or maybe your hope is sick tonight, Jesus is calling you. You're the one he's looking for. He's the one you're the one he wants to bless. He said in the scriptures that he didn't come for those that were well. He came for those that are sick. And maybe your hope is sick tonight. Maybe you're just not where you need to be in your journey with him. But whatever the case may be that's going on in your life, amen, he says, come. As we heard Bishop so very well said tonight, He's calling you. He's calling your name to surrender. He's calling your name to surrender the problem,
yes.
to surrender the pain, to surrender whatever it is that's ailing you tonight. Give it to God and say, Lord, I give it to you, and I'm going to fix my eyes on you. And I'm going to trust that you are going to make me well again, that my hope is coming alive again because of this
yes.
word tonight, that my hope is coming alive. And I'm going to trust
Lord.
You even when I can't trace you. But I'm
yes.
going to trust you because I know you're faithful. I want you to trust God because he is a faithful God, and he's calling
yes.
for you to surrender that problem, that place, that situation, whatever it is. Amen. Surrender it to God, for he's speaking new life to your hope tonight, that you may trust him, depend
yes.
on him, and live for
Thank
him,
you, Lord.
That your life may be a testimony for his glory. Be encouraged tonight. Be encouraged tonight. You're not listening by accident. You're listening
yes.
tonight because God is calling you. He's calling you
yes.
to a closer walk, to trust him in Jesus' name. God bless you.
God bless you. God simply says this to you. You've heard the scripture tonight. Several you've heard. If this message has been a blessing to you, we're going to ask that you begin being a blessing to us as we have some plans ourselves to further this gospel. You can reach out to Sister Nina Taylor. Is going to come and share some information with you. If you would like to know how to be a blessing to this, we're looking for partners. We need 100 people with, and we can actually use 200 people annually, but 100 every 6 months with a $25 love gift. Elations Radio and Elations Magazine working together. We're looking to do something different. Our Elations Honors will be coming up again next year. We're going to skip this year. There's been a lot going on, but next year we want to come back and be able to bless you, the people, make it so that you could come down and spend little or nothing to spend time with us. And we're looking forward to each and every one of you joining us. So as we get ready to sign off, I want to thank you, Pastor Henderson. Thank you, Elder Brown. Thank you, Kimmy Robinson, for another great opportunity. Nina Taylor is going to come and share something with you. For now, on behalf of Open Mic, I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richards saying, God's best will be yours, and do not miss these two powerful young ladies on next Thursday, as I may or may not be with them, depending upon what's going on. But they're going to go forward, and if they're going to continue to talk about hope, fine. If they're going to go to the next letter, which is the letter A, I hope I don't miss too much, but I do plan to listen if I can. But go back and catch the broadcast. For those of you that don't catch the whole program, we want you to know that you can go to Elations Radio, and I'm trying to remember exactly what it is. I think it's www.blogtalkradio/Elations. And if I got it wrong, Sister Kimmy, come and straighten it out for me. You can go back and listen to the rebroadcast. If you missed anything, go back and listen to the rebroadcast. This is good word. This is like steak. You don't want good steak to get lost. I'm sorry. And if I can't eat it all in that setting, I'll go back and eat it as leftovers later. Don't let this word escape. Don't let the word escape. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Sister Kimmy Kim, you can start that track, please.
You've been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richards and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $PowerToStand or on PayPal, Pritchard719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.